بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim followers from whatever he feared for them. In our previous lesson, we mentioned that there were important good figures, people who died during the rulership of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who ruled between the year 65 and the year 86 Hijri. And we mentioned that one of the companions of the Prophet Safina died during that time. We mentioned that Abdullah ibn al-Abbas, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, died during that time. And we mentioned that he was the son of the uncle al-Abbas of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that his mother was Umm al-Fadl Lubaba, who happened to be the sister of Maymuna, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas had 10 brothers from the same mother, and he was the youngest among them. He was born before Al-Hijrah, 3 years before Al-Hijrah, and he was 13 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. We said that his physical features, that he was handsome and he was tall. And we mentioned that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam in more than one occasion made dua, supplication for them, for him. That the Prophet said, O Allah, teach him, give him the knowledge of the interpretation of Al-Qur'an. And the companions recognized the vast knowledge that this young man carried, religious knowledge. Umar ibn Khattab, while being caliph, used to ask for Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, to sit in his sessions, while sitting with the elderly among the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he asked him more than once to answer certain questions to show other people the high level of knowledge, why he is keeping him close by. We mentioned that Ibn Abbas used to go to the companions. He learned from Ali and Umar and other companions. Among them was Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu anhu. Al-Imam Ahmad, so we continue inshallah today. Al-Imam Ahmad narrated from the route of Ikrimah that Imam Ali radiyallahu anhu set certain people on fire because they apostatized. These people claimed that Ali himself was God, and Ali ordered them to return to Islam, but they refused. So Ali ordered his assistant to set fire in a hole, in a ditch, and they were thrown in it. So when Ibn Abbas received the news, he said, if it was me, I would not burn them, I would not set them on fire. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, لا تعذبوا بعذاب الله. I would just have ordered their killing, because the Prophet said, من بدل دينه فاقتلوا. So he said, the Prophet said, see, Ibn Abbas said, I would not set them on fire, I would not burn them, because the Prophet said, do not torture people with the torture of Allah. The torture of Allah is in hellfire. So do not burn people, this is the torture of Allah on the Day of Judgment. But I would have ordered their killing, because the Prophet said that whoever leaves out Islam, kill them. So when Ibn Abbas, when Imam Ali also received the statement of Ibn Abbas, he said some statement like that Ibn Abbas looks for the mistakes of others. And another situation happened where Ali ibn Abi Talib was, we don't want to say getting even with him on purpose, but another situation happened when Ibn Abbas used to say it is permissible to have this temporary marriage, al-mut'a. And al-Imam Ali radiallahu anhu said that Ibn Abbas doesn't know what he's talking about. He is lost, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the day of Khaybar, in the battle of Khaybar, he forbade eating donkeys, and he also forbade this temporary marriage called Mut'a marriage. So Ibn Abbas had not received the news, so because it was permissible, then the Prophet ﷺ received his prohibition, then it was permissible, then it was prohibited until the Day of Judgment. So Ibn Abbas did not receive the latest prohibition of this temporary marriage, of Mut'a marriage. So Ali said that Ibn Abbas is lost. That means he doesn't know the judgment. Of course, when Ibn Abbas knew about it, of course he said it is forbidden. Now, Imam Mujahid, who is a student of Abdullah ibn Abbas, said that Ibn Abbas told me, my father said to me, means Al-Abbas said to his son Abdullah, Umar gets you closer to him, and he allows you to sit with the famous companions, with the elderly companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a blessing. So Al-Abbas said to his son, memorize three things from me. Memorize three things from me. Do not expose any secret of Umar. Never, never disclose any secret of Umar. Never backbite anyone in his presence. And let him never experience any lying from you. It means you want to stay close to Umar, he is giving you this nice approach. Then I'm telling you, in order to keep this blessing, then he said, do not disclose any secret of Umar, do not backbite anyone in his presence, and do not let him experience any lying from you. Al-Sha'bi, who is one of the narrators, he is a scholar and he is a narrator of this incident, said, I told Ibn Abbas, every one of those three is better than 1,000, means 1,000 dirham. Every one of those three advices is better than having 1,000 dirham, for example. Ibn Abbas told him, no, every one of them is better than 10,000. These are good advices. Amir, the son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one of the 10, He narrated from his father Sa'd, so Amir, the son of Sa'd, narrated from his father Sa'd, that he said, I never saw a person who is very conscious and very smart and very knowledgeable and very patient as much as Ibn Abbas was. I have never seen one who is more knowledgeable or more conscious and more intelligent and more knowledgeable, more patient than Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. And Sa'd said, I saw Umar calling for Ibn Abbas to solve hard situations. And he would say, here is a hard situation. And then when Ibn Abbas suggests a solution for the situation, Umar would not, you know, cross it out. He would not just ignore it. He would follow what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma suggested. And around Umar are many companions from Al-Muhajirin Al-Ansar. Still he takes the word, the advice of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Someone came to Abdullah ibn Umar, asked him a question. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said, ask Ibn Abbas. He is the most knowledgeable among those who are still alive about what Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam received. He said, ask Ibn Abbas, he is the most knowledgeable about, among those who are still alive, about what was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the scholars of tafsir, named Tawus, said that I caught up with 50 or 70 companions of the Prophet. If they were asked about a matter and their saying was different from the saying of Ibn Abbas, they would not leave the session until they say the same thing as Ibn Abbas said. They say, either they say Ibn Abbas said the truth, he is right about what he said, or they would change their opinion and then follow the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said, I caught up with 50 or 70 companions doing that. Meaning, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is well respected, well recognized for his knowledge among the companions of the Prophet. One also scholars of tafsir named Masruq used to say, if I saw Ibn Abbas, I would say he is the most handsome person. If he talks, I would say he is the most eloquent person. And if he taught, I would say he is the most knowledgeable person. So all of these are testimonies for Ibn Abbas' knowledge and so on. Now, Ubaidullah ibn Abi Yazid mentioned that when Ibn Abbas was asked if the answer is in Al-Quran, then he would give the answer from the Quran. If the answer was not explicitly in Al-Quran and the Prophet had talked about it, then he would mention the hadith of the Prophet in answering this question. And if Abu Bakr and Umar had talked about it, he would tell about it, that Abu Bakr said and so, Umar said so and so. And then if he has not any answer from Abu Bakr or Umar, then he would make his own ijtihad and give the answer. And this also tells us that he reached the level of Mujtahid, radiallahu anhuma. Abdullah ibn Abbas was among those who went out in the campaign in Africa under the leadership of Abdullah ibn Sa'd, and that was in the year 27 Hijri. And in the year that Uthman radiallahu anhu was killed, the year 33, Abdullah ibn Abbas led the Muslims in Al-Hajj upon the orders of Uthman. So the year in which Uthman was killed, 33, Uthman was still alive. Later he was killed during that year. But during that, when the Hajj season came, Uthman ibn Affan ordered Abdullah ibn Abbas to lead the Hajj, that year. Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he was the caliph, he appointed him as the governor of Al-Basra. When the day of Siffin, the battle of Siffin, took place against the army of Muawiyah, Ali radiallahu anhu appointed Abdullah ibn Abbas as the commander of the left wing of the army. Ibn Abbas remained as the governor of Al-Basra until Ali was assassinated. Then Abdullah ibn Abbas left the area and came to Al-Hijaz, left Iraq and came to Al-Hijaz. Az-Zubayr, one of the narrators, Ibn Bakkar, he narrated that when Ibn Abbas was the governor of Al-Basra, he used to be with the people during the month of Ramadan, and by the end of Ramadan he will have made people knowledgeable about many issues of Islam. It means although he was the governor, he would be among the people teaching them the rules of the religion. He wouldn't just sit in his own, like say, office. He was teaching people the rules of Islam. Now, one person came to Ibn Abbas when he was the governor, and he spoke about a man with the intention that Ibn Abbas as the governor would harm him. So somebody came to Ibn Abbas talking about a man with the intention of like provoking, inciting Ibn Abbas against this man to harm him. So Ibn Abbas told him, we will look for your story. If you are a liar, we will punish you. If you are saying the truth, we will banish you, we'll get you out of this area. And if you wish, I will forgive you. And if you wish, I forgive you. This man said, okay, I want this. He told him, if you're a liar, we're going to punish you. If you're saying the truth about this man, we'll banish you. Just take you out somewhere. And if you want, we will forgive you. He told him, I want this. So, because he knew that Ibn Abbas would not be listening to him. He was not successful in inciting Ibn Abbas against that man. You know, some people, you know, among the sins of the foot is to go to the governor with the intention of asking the governor to harm a Muslim. So Ibn Abbas was telling this man, you may be saying the truth, but I'm going to take you out of this area. But if you're a liar, I'm going to punish you. I'm going to give you a third choice. I'll forgive you. Which one do you want? He told him, yeah, I want to be forgiven. Because he doesn't want to be punished or to be taken out of his land. Now, Al-Imam Al-Bayhaqi narrated from the route of Kahmas, the son of Al-Hasan, from Abdullah ibn Buraida. Kahmas was a great man from Al-Basra. He used to pray 1,000 rak'ah every night and day. He was very, Al-Imam Ahmad said he was trustworthy and even more. And he had the world, you know, the knowledge of hadith, radiallahu anhu. He was so pious. One time they say, He dropped a dinar, a golden piece of gold, and he looked for it, and then he found it. But he did not pick it up. He said, maybe it's someone else's. So he refused to take it, just out of his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Kahmas was very kind to his mother. He was dutiful to his mother. When she died, he performed Hajj. He resided in Mecca until his death time in the year 149 Hijri. So this Kahmas is narrating something. Al-Bayhaqi is narrating from Kahmas, from another man called Abdullah ibn Buraida, that a man cussed Ibn Abbas. Somebody came and insulted Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. So Ibn Abbas said, you're cussing me and I have three traits, three qualities. You are cussing me and I have three good qualities. He said, I would hear about one of the governors of the Muslim being fair and just in his ruling, and I would love him, although I may not go and ask for his help. I don't ask to solve some problem for me. It means he is happy that this ruler is a fair and just ruler because of that only, not because he has any interests with him, any financial benefit from him. And he said, and I would hear about rain falling in some land, means the Muslim land, and I would be happy that the Muslims got the rain. And I have no animal or any property in that land. So it means he is happy for the Muslims, for the sake of Allah. Not because he's happy about the rain, because he himself benefits. He has animals that would, need grass, for example, to grow. And he said that when I come across an ayah from the Book of Allah, I wish that the Muslims have as much knowledge as I have about it. I wish the Muslims would have as much knowledge about this ayah as I have. So he's wishing for the Muslims good thing, that they know the interpretation of that ayah. So it means that if I have all these good qualities, how do you insult me or cuss me out? You should not do that. And of course he was not saying that out of boasting. He is just drawing the attention of this person that he should not insult him. Ubaidullah, the son of Abdullah, the son of Utbah, is narrating. And this Ubaidullah was one of the seven scholars of Al-Madina. There were seven scholars in Al-Madina known as the seven scholars. Here they say the seven magnificent. They were the seven scholars of Al-Madina. Ubaidullah was one of them. And he was born during the time of Umar's caliphate, or a little bit after. But he was a very righteous person, very knowledgeable. He was one of the teachers of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the great caliph that we're going to talk about later, inshallah. And he was known as Zuhri, for example. He would say, I would go to different people and I would hear things that they just repeat and repeat and repeat. But when I go to Ubaidullah, I always hear new things from him. I learn new things from him. This is how vast his knowledge was. So this Ubaidullah died in the year 98. He is narrating that Ibn Abbas, he accompanied Ibn Abbas, he stuck to him. He learned from Ibn Abbas. So he said that Ibn Abbas has gone ahead of people, superseded people by many traits, with knowledge that no one has, and fiqh that people need his opinion about the rules of the religion. Patience. He has blood lineage. He is from Christ, cousin of the Prophet. And he said, I never saw anyone knew about the hadith of the Prophet more than Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. I haven't seen someone who knew more about the rulings that Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman have passed through their life. I haven't seen anyone who knows about the Arabic poetry and the Arabic language than Ibn Abbas. I haven't seen someone who knows about the interpretation of Quran, about, you know, mathematics, about inheritance, about anything that happened in the past than Ibn Abbas. And I haven't seen someone who is wiser when needed than Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. He said that one of them, Abu Salih, he is one of the companions of Ibn Abbas, one of those who learned from Abdullah Ibn Abbas. He said, one time Ibn Abbas was in his place, and people came to his place at his door outside, and they were filling the area, and they were sitting so tightly, people could not move. If you sit in that place, you cannot move, because the people are so crowded, large number, sitting out, coming to learn from him. So Abu Salih said, I went out inside, and I told him, people are outside, and they are crowded. So he said to me, bring me some water for wudu. So I brought him the water, he made wudu, and then he sat. And he told Abu Salih, he told him, go out, and said, the one who wants ask about Al-Quran and his tafsir, let him come in. So those who were interested in the tafsir of the Quran came in, and they went in, Ibn Abbas talked to them for a while, then they finished, then they went out, they of course filled the house when they came in, and then they got what they wanted, then they left. So he told them, Ibn Abbas, that's enough because there are people waiting, so you need to leave now, I need another wave. So he told Abu Salih, tell people if they want to ask, whoever wants to ask about halal and haram and rules of fiqh, let him come in now. So people, a group of people came in and they filled the room. And then Ibn Abbas, you know, answered their questions. Whatever they asked him, he answered it. And he would even give them more than what they asked. After a while he said, okay, your fellow Muslims are out, so you need to go out, and the others need to come. Then he told them, go out, and said, whoever wants to know about the Arabic language, about the poetry, about, you know, the words that people, you know, lay people may not know, let him come in. So he said, I went out, I let them in, they filled out the house, and then he said, anytime, anything they ask Ibn Abbas about it, Ibn Abbas would tell them, and he would tell them even more than what they asked. Then Ibn Abbas told this group, you know, okay, please go out, and there are other people. So he was giving different types of knowledge for a large group of people. And Abu Salih, this man who's narrating, he said, if Quraysh was to be proud of something, it would be proud of Ibn Abbas that day. Nobody could do what Ibn Abbas did that day to teach all these people all these fields of knowledge. One time Ibn Abbas said, أنا من الراسخين في العلم. أنا من الراسخين في العلم الذين يعلمون تأويله. He said, I'm one of those well-rooted scholars of the interpretation of Al-Quran. You know, there is an ayah in Al-Quran about the muhkam ayahs and mutashabih ayahs. And there is an ayah in Al-Quran that والراسخون في العلم يقولون. So he said, I'm one of those well-rooted scholars of Islam who know the meanings of the verses of Al-Quran. And Mujahid, his student, said, I reviewed Al-Quran with Ibn Abbas twice. And I stopped at every ayah and I asked him about what it means. Imagine how long it took him to learn that. But he just, so that when Mujahid talks, he says, Mujahid says, Ibn Abbas said, you know why? Because he took it twice from Ibn Abbas, the interpretation. Now, one of the things that they narrate about Ibn Abbas, a man called Yusuf ibn Mahran, said the Roman king wrote to Muawiyah one time, when he was a ruler, asking him questions. I'll just ask some of them. He said, what are the best words, what are the most beloved words to Allah? And who is the most honorable woman by Allah, means said to Allah. And he asked him about four things or four creatures who were alive, but they were not carried in a womb. And then asked him about a grave that moved, taking its content with it, the buried person in it, that it contains. And asked about a place on earth that did not see the sun except one time, that the sun did not shine on it except once. So Muawiyah, when he received these questions from the Roman king, he asked Ibn Abbas about it. When Ibn Abbas, gave the answers, they were written and sent to the Roman king. So Ibn Abbas said, the best words, the most beloved words to Allah are Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. As per the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most honorable female slaves, was Maryam, the mother of Jesus. As for the four who were alive but were not carried in a womb, they were Adam, Eve, because they were not born, they were created as full humans. And he said, and the lamb that was offered as a sacrifice for Ismail, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to slaughter his son, and the order, he was about to carry the order, Allah informed Ibrahim that he had carried the order, and instead of his son being sacrificed, a lamb will be sacrificed. And we said that lamb was grazed in paradise. So this lamb was not carried by a mother, it was created for that occasion, according to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. And the camel of Salih, according to one narration, the camel of Prophet Salih. Remember when his people challenged him, they said, if you were a prophet, you would bring a camel from inside this rock. The rock could split and a camel, female camel, came out with its own child. So Ibn Abbas said that this was not born. Allah created it. So these were four things that were alive but not carried in a womb. And as for the grave that moved, carrying its own buried person, he said it is the whale of Yunus. The whale of Jonas. Remember, Prophet Yunus jumped and a whale carried it, swallowed it. So what swallowed him? So it's because it's big and it was like a grave. So, and the whale, moved, carrying Yunus inside it. That, he said, this is the grave that carried its own content or the buried person in it. And then he said, as for the place that was not hit by the sun except one, as for the place which The sun did not shine on except one time. It is the sea when it split for the children of Israel. Remember 12 paths? So when it split, the land showed up, the sun hit it. And then when they sit, the sea closed on Pharaoh and his soldiers, that place never saw the sun again. So it saw the sun one time. And there were other questions that we don't need to talk about. So when the Roman king received those answers, he said, those answers are, you know, wonderful, but I don't think Muawiyah was the one who answered them. He knew it was someone else. He said, it must be from the family of the Prophet. There are many things we can say about Ibn Abbas. One of his qualities, that he was very generous. And generous means financially, and knowledge, and also when he gives knowledge. When he was a governor for Imam Ali in Al-Basra, the companion Abu Ayyub Al-Ansari, the one who received the Prophet when he immigrated to Al-Madina in his house, when he came, Ibn Abbas told him, I'm gonna reward you for having the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as your guest at the time he immigrated to Al-Madina. And he kept on giving him, you know, things until he gave him the house in which he lived. He just left the house. He said, this is yours. So he was rewarding him for having been generous with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man called Jundub came to Ibn Abbas and he said, give me an advice. He told him, أُوصِيكَ بِتَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ وَالْعَمَلِ لَهِ. I command you to have tawheed, means to believe that Allah is the only creator, and to work in sincerity for Allah, means to obey Allah, carry out his obligations. And وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ, to perform as-salah, to fulfill as-zakah. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ خَيْرٍ آتِيهِ أَنْتَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ مِنْكَ مَقْبُولٍ. So after you have the right belief, and you are performing the prayers and fulfilling the zakah, any good deed that you do after that is accepted from you, inshallah. يا جندب إنك لن تزدد من موتك إلا قربا فصل صلاة مودع. He told him, O Jundub, the man was asking him, you're always gonna get closer to the time of your death. You're moving towards it, so you're getting closer to it. So when you pray, pray as if it's your last prayer. Consider that prayer you're praying as if you're not gonna pray anything after, you're gonna die after that. Means make it the best of your prayers. وَأَصْبِحْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ مُسَافِرٌ فَإِنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ. And he told him, when you wake up in the morning, behave as if you are a stranger who is traveling. If you are in a land and it's not your land and you don't want to stay there, you don't carry many things, you don't buy many things. You're a stranger there, you're not resident to buy things. So when you're living in this life, do not take a lot of its own enjoyments because you are traveling. فَإِنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُبُورِ. You are dying. You're going to be one of those buried in cemeteries. وَبِكِ عَلَى ذَنْبِكِ. Cry for having committed a sin. وَتُبْ مِنْ خَطِيئَتِكِ. And repent of your sins. وَلْتَكُنِ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيْكَ أَهْوَنَ مِنْ شِسْعِ نَعْلِكَ. And he said, consider this life to be of lesser value than your shoelace. Consider this life of lesser value, of lower value than your shoelace. فَكَأَنْ قَدْ فَارَقْتَهَا وَصِرْتَ إِلَىٰ عَدْلِ اللَّهِ. And soon you will be leaving this life, and you will be encountering the justice of Allah. Allah will be asking you about what you did in this life, and you'll be justly treated. وَلَن تَنْتَفِعَ بِمَا خَلَّفْتَ. And on the day of judgment, you will not benefit from what all this money that you left behind. وَلَن يَنْفَعَكَ إِلَّا عَمَلُكَ. And only your deed, your acts, your doings would be the beneficial things, means the good deeds that you did would be the only thing beneficial to you on the day of judgment. One, towards his life, the end of his life, one of his eyes, you know, went bad, so he could not see with it, so had only one eye for some time. So when one of his eyes was hit, he lost weight. Ibn Abbas lost weight. Then when his second eye went away, he became totally blind, he gained weight. So they asked him, you know, when you lost one eye, you lost weight. When you lost the second one, which means, you know, you expect it to be even be more sad, and you would lose more weight, but you gained weight. So they asked him why. He said, when one of my eyes went away, I felt sorry for the other one, because it's by itself. Now, when the second one went away, I felt reassured. Now, I didn't have to feel sorry for the other one. Now, I felt reassured, and then that's why I gained weight. You know that one of the very effective ways of losing weight is stress. If you get stressed, you lose weight easily. Okay? When people are not stressed, even if they don't eat a lot, they are prone to gain weight. One time, a doctor told him, because he had some, like, a cataract in his eye, so he told him, I will treat you, provided that you don't pray for 7 days. You don't make wudu and pray for 7 days. He told him, no. The one who leaves out as-salah will be resurrected, prone to Allah's punishment. I don't want to be punished by Allah for leaving as-salah. So, you could see that sometimes, although the doctor may say something, some people choose not to follow if they feel that they're going to lose an obligation, like in this case. 7 days not praying, he could not bear with it. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, when he died, many people said, Habrul Ummah died, means the scholar of the nation has died. They said that the most knowledgeable person died on the day when he left. He died in At-Ta'if, an area in Saudi Arabia, in Al-Hijaz. And yeah, Muhammad ibn Hanafiya, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib, led the prayer of janazah, funeral prayer for him. He died at the age of 71 in the year 68 Hijri, radiyallahu anhu. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. And Allah knows best. Barakallahu fikum. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم